Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, children of appropriate ages, to the Between Two Birds podcast. It is February 2nd, 2015. I am your host, Cody Colston.
And I'm the other person. I'm Connor Garcia.
And welcome, again. Welcome to the post-Super Bowl FanFest non-fat edition of the podcast.
We're the sugar slash fat free edition.
Yes, we will only be talking Orioles and Ravens for this podcast, and probably probably the same in the future. We won't be going over the Wizards and Caps as much as we already didn't really go into them as much as we did last time. But that's that. So we're just going to hop right into the Orioles news. It's been a while since we've been around, and we're just getting into the whole Dan Duquette's wild ride situation.
Dan Duquette? I don't think I've ever heard of this guy.
Isn't he with the Red Sox or something? I mean...
No, Expos. Expos?
Yeah. Man, I gotta go up to Boston and watch Pedro pitch. But I'm sure if you're an Orioles fan, you have already heard about what's going on, and so we're just going to kind of skim through the top of this. Obviously, Toronto wanted to get Dan Duquette for reasons unknown. And safe to say, Mr. Angelos didn't want that to happen. And the talks recently just ended, and from what one of the Canadian sports websites is what I'm reading, is that they wanted the Orioles asked for Jeff Hoffman, their ninth pick from last year's draft, Max Pentecost, their 11th pick from 2014, infielder Mitch Ney, and more before they were even willing to discuss about where Duquette was going.
Which is a lot to ask for an executive.
That's a package that could probably get Cole Hamels.
Yeah, exactly. And he would be actually on the field helping the team.
And it's this whole situation has just been crazy. I mean, when I went to FanFest and I was at the early bird panel, which was the for the season ticket holders. I snuck in with a friend. No, literally, we went in the back door. No, I didn't. But they seem to really make a light of it. Jim Hunter was the MC for most of the panels, and he was for that panel. And he was cracking jokes in the beginning about it, and everyone seemed to be laughing. Duquette just seemed pretty relaxed about it. He seemed like he knew what was going on. He was going to stay. I don't think he would have been at FanFest if he didn't know he was staying, to be honest.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to like be anywhere near any kind of fans or Oriole press or anything.
I met up with Jake from Bird's Eye View, and I told him Dan Duquette just came out on stage with a Blue Jays jersey on, just to mess with people. And Jake actually made a great point, because if you like look at the pictures of Dan Duquette like during the season, or like I think even during like the clubhouse celebrations, he's wearing a blue shirt, like a blue button up, and like any of the pictures of him lately, you don't see the blue button up. So that's pretty funny in my opinion.
I have the inside scoop. I have my insider sources.
You have your sources?
Yes, I have my sources. I know where Dan Duquette lives. I've seen him walk around his neighborhood.
Connor, we have Google Earth, you know.
No, I've like literally driven by as he's walking his dog. And like, I'm not being stalkerish. My friend lives in the same neighborhood, and I just happen to see him when I drive by. He was walking his dog one day. It was back in the summer, and he like stops, and his dog does his business, and he doesn't pick it up. So let it be known, Dan Duquette does not clean up dog shit.
He doesn't clean. That's pretty good. I actually have kind of my own sources. I was hearing whispers in the wind of a different package they were asking for. It was the Orioles were asking for their number 2 and their number 9 top prospects. I don't know where that came from, but that was something else I heard. Not sure what that means, but the number 2 on their website is actually I think it's Aaron Sanchez, and he's like getting ready to be in their rotation big league wise, so that would be interesting.
Another name that came up was Dalton Pompey, who's literally going to be in their outfield this season, so even if they were going to ask for him, the Blue Jays would just been like, are you insane?
Yeah, I mean, well, do they? Well, yeah, that would be reason. That's the reason they let Rasmus walk, isn't it?
Yeah, because they have Pompey coming up soon.
And then they have Batista. Who else do they have? They don't have anybody else in the outfield, do they?
Yeah, everyone wants to criticize the Orioles for having a crappy outfield. Look at Toronto. I mean, here, I'll pull up their 40 man because, they literally have 4 outfielders listed. Jose Bautista, Kevin Pillar, Dalton Pompey, and Michael Saunders. So, yeah, they traded up for Saunders.
Oh, yeah, Saunders. I forgot about him.
Yeah, they needed somebody for left field because they lost Melky and Colby Rasmus.
Melky signed with the White Sox, right?
Yeah.
All right, that's what I figured. Speaking of outfielders, the Orioles acquired Travis Snyder from the Pirates for 2 minor league lefty pitchers.
Was the other player named?
No, it's a player to be named later. The first one who got traded was Stephen Tarpley, and the implication is that it's going to be another lefty because it's similar. He said similar to Tarpley, and there's another lefty at A-ball that has like the exact same splits as him. Well, I wouldn't say the exact same, but they have similar splits because with Tarpley, he was pretty much the same lefty and righty. So I think that's why one of the reasons why the Orioles let him go is that he wasn't anything special to either side of the plate. And there's another lefty down there who has similar splits like that. So
okay.
The other name I heard for the player to be named Lair was Homar Reyes, which I'm kind of worried about if it is him. He's one of the big, pretty sure he's Cuban. One of the big Cuban guys the Orioles signed last year, I believe, when we didn't have a first or second round pick, is when we went really hard for the international signings.
Okay.
So, if it is him, I don't think it's a good trade, but if it isn't, then good trade.
Yeah, when I saw it come up and I saw the name we were sending to Pittsburgh, I thought, I've never heard of this guy, and I heard Jab on Baltimore Sports Today say, I know a lot of players in the Orioles organization. I've never heard of Stephen Tarpley.
He's not one of the names that come up. When I hear pitcher, like the lowest-end pitcher that I remember hearing about was probably the Ofelky Peralta, and that's because the dude's like 17. So.
I can't even think. I'd have to look at the Frederick roster to think who would come up that I would recognize.
True. Because, as I've seen it, like, a bunch of the minor league pitchers are at, like, AAA now. Like, Mike Wright's at AAA. I think Tim Barry's there.
I think Tyler Wilson will be there this year.
Yeah, Tyler Wilson.
I mean, like, there's Parker Bridwell in AAA, or single A. Matt Hobgood's still in the organization.
Fat Hobgood?
Yeah, after he gained, like, 50 pounds and hurt his shoulder or something. Jimmy Yacobonis, I know who he is just because they drafted him a couple of years ago or something.
Gotcha. Looking at Snyder's splits, he looks exactly like Nick and Deaza. Like all three of those guys are pretty much in the same mold. Their averages are around the same area. The only one I wouldn't say is Deaza. Deaza's hit .252 last year. And, Nick hit .276 and Snyder hit .264. So, there's that. The big one is their OBP. Their OBP is, like, all in the same ballpark area, all around if Fangraphs will work. Well, it's not working. But, anyway, they're all around the same area. I think that's the big thing, is their on-base percentage, because Nick was the leadoff guy, and to be honest, Nick got a lot of hits, but he wasn't your ideal mold for a leadoff guy. I can't talk.
like if I wanted a leadoff hitter, I'd want speed. Like Billy Hamilton's the perfect leadoff hitter because he can get on base and he can steal them.
Well, his problem is that he can't hit. You have to be able to hit and be fast. So.
Well, I mean,
he can walk on it, but that's about it.
If he can hit around 270, at least he'll be the perfect mold for a leadoff hitter.
Like, yeah, to me, Nick is your ideal number two. That's what Nick is to me.
Yeah, because he's
always been a number two. He's never been a quintessential leadoff guy to me. Even though he's done well in that spot, I've always preferred someone with a little bit more speed at the top of the lineup because you have to get someone on. I mean, it's easier to get someone on base. It's simple as it is. The big thing that I find the big disadvantage is that the K percentage. Nick is way below Snyder and Deaza in terms of last year. Nick had an 11.8 K percentage, and then you have Snyder at 18.7 and Deaza at 22.5. But interestingly enough, their walk percentages are all in the same ballpark.
Markakis just has more pitch to contact, kind of, and he lines out. Like, you rarely see him swing and miss.
Yeah.
And when he does, it's a big swing and miss, so you kind of remember that kind of stuff. But he rarely struck out. That was his big thing. He never struck out, really. And, you know, you sacrifice a little. I mean, whether you strike out or you line out, it's just you're out. There's nothing you can do about it. So, yeah.
The one thing Snyder does bring to the plate, he had a higher slugging percentage last year. I mean, there's a low sample size with Snyder because really last year was his breakout, I'm using air quote here, and he had a 438 slugging, while Nick had a 386, and Deaza was right on top of that with 386.
Am I the only one that's going to be like excited to see what Travis Snyder can do with the right field porch in Camden?
No, I'm excited too, because he's 27, there's, I think, one more year of team control, that's what I remember them saying, and we're pretty much getting a guy who's getting ready to hit his prime who looks very promising. I mean, the reason the Pirates got rid of him wasn't because he was bad. It was because they already have three all-star outfielders in Starling Marte, Andrew McCutchen, and Gregory Polanco.
Yeah, they just ran out of room for him. You know, they're not going to waste a quality depth guy on the bench.
Yeah, and they really did want to get rid of him because I think back in the winter meetings, the Pirates wanted Mets for Snyder.
Yeah.
And Orioles turn around now, and they give up two minor league lefties, and they keep Mattis, which I don't know is better or worse. I'm not a big Mattis fan, but we get to keep our major league assets while acquiring another major league asset. So, that's always a win in my opinion.
I put air quotes around major league asset for Brian Mattis. nice guy. Not the best thrower of the baseball.
Now you have to keep him around to make Ortiz angry.
Yeah, just I don't know if he has any options to send him down, bring him back up for just the Red Sox and Angels, so he can strike out Hamilton and Ortiz, and then just send him back down.
I'm pretty sure he is actually out of options. I think when they sent him down to convert him to a reliever, that was his last option. So.
Yeah, after his like 10-point-something ERA, it's like the worst ever for a starter. Mm.
So remember, boys and girls, Brian Mattis is the instigator in all telephone violence in Baltimore, in Boston.
Okay, just interesting note on the Orioles. And then Bowie. I'm looking at their depth chart or their whatever roster. On their infielders, they have Casey Harther, Garibes Rosa, Sharlin Scope, and Sammy Starr, which is still a porn name.
What is the guy's name?
Sammy Starr.
That's a porn name.
Three of them are shortstops. One's a first baseman. I think they're really counting on these guys to be, you know, either a Hardy replacement or a trade thing because they're listed as three shortstops in Bowie.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Homar Reyes is a third base, like shortstop, second. He's like left side of the infield type guy, and they're pretty big on him. So,
where did he play last year?
I don't think he played. He might have not played. If he did play, I'm pretty sure it was in the Gulf Coast or Pacific Coast League.
Okay.
So.
Hey, at least he was with Urrutia. He was rehabbing then.
Yeah. Henry Urrutia.
I met him the other day. His English isn't terrible.
Is it better than Scopes?
Nah, Scope can speak. He just has the accent.
Gotcha. Well, speaking of meeting ball players, we were both at FanFest yesterday.
Yes.
It was, as I said earlier, I was only I got in early. Did you get in early?
I was standing in the line that wrapped around the Sheridan, freezing my ass off. So not really.
Yeah, I got in. Me and the person that was with me, we pretty much cut in line to the front and got in. Because the way people didn't realize is that, I mean, there was a really long line wrap. It wasn't as long as it got until later, but if you go to the front, there's actually two doors, and there was like a second mini line for the second door that nobody was using. So we just used that and got in.
Yeah.
People aren't exactly the smartest when it comes to using doors.
No. Like, for the convention center, if you've ever been there, you know how many doors there are for the opening. There's, like, 8 sets of doors on the front. It's not like they have them all closed.
No, my one buddy, he actually, they were having the boat show the same time as FanFest, go figure. And he actually, I think the boat show was free, if I'm not mistaken, because he walked into the side where the boat show was. He went up the escalator, and he just walked across that, I don't know what you'd call it, that hallway that goes over the road, and he just got into FanFest for free.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I saw the people with the progressive bags. I'm like, where are they coming from? They're not wearing any Orioles stuff. Then I saw somebody say, oh, do you know where the boat show is? I'm like, there's a boat show here? I want to go.
Yeah, it got to the I was actually in the free giveaway line that long. That line went almost halfway across. No, it did go halfway across the convention center.
Yeah,
and I actually had to like curtail the line to go down like this mini hallway because it was like interfering with the boat show. I was about to go over to that side of the convention center. No, but it was. I definitely had some fun. I played Pictionary with Kevin Gossman.
I Is there a video of it? Did they record it?
Well, it wasn't. It was like everyone just shouted. Like, he was drawing pictures and you just shout at whatever he was drawing.
Oh, okay.
And
so it wasn't like a one-on-one thing?
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But that was pretty cool. They were giving out, I think, t-shirts was the prize. I got a bunch of free stuff. I got, like, 3 towels, a t-shirt, and and I got a magazine with Ubaldo on it, so I have, like, a net 3 of giveaways.
I love to walk through the room with all the game-used stuff.
I didn't get there.
It was a couple doors down from the promotions thing, or the giveaways.
Okay.
Like, I was just walking through it, and you find some of the weirdest stuff. Yes. I found... I tweeted some of the pictures.
Yeah, that's what I was. I saw it was Chong and what else?
I was like, where's Cheech? I found a Joe Saunders postseason jersey.
Nice.
Einar Diaz postseason jersey. Ronnie Deck, like, locker room name tag.
Who?
Ronnie Deck, the old bullpen catcher.
Oh, wow.
Chong, I found an old LJ Hose jersey. I literally held it up, and this woman goes, are you going to buy that? I was like, probably not. She goes, oh, I'll wear it. I love Hose.
No, I need to find a Felix PA jersey. I should have went up there and looked for one.
There was a Felix PA jersey.
Yes, I need to get that next year.
It's probably going to be still there. There was a jersey that said De Jesus, and it was $69. It was $80, and I was so close to buying it.
I would have bought that for you, just because.
Like, it literally says Jesus, $69. I was so close. It was tempting.
That stuff's fun. The part that I always find the funnest, though, is the panel, the Q&A. As I said earlier, there was a lot of stuff they talked about. Let me see if I can find some of the tweets that I had. Oh, yeah, here it is. There was a lot of Buckisms.
Yeah.
the one of the first things he said, there's no such thing as an off season. And then What else? Oh, he said someone asked him about. I can't remember what they asked him about, but he ended with he said they're picking us last again, which is beautiful. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, and someone asked him who he thought was going to have a breakout year, whoever was going to have a really good year, and he pretty much he said Scope, because he said Scope slimmed down to 225, I think. And he was just talking a lot of praise with him, and he said that he expects even better years out of Britton and Pierce, which is
Ooh.
definitely Britton and Pierce.
And I said, ooh,
Wow,
like
I thought he said ooh.
that's a lot.
Yeah. And then what else was it? Oh yeah, Duquette said that they're still looking for a right-handed pitcher for the bullpen and a utility infielder. The right-hander, I think he kind of went into it. He said in case the rule five was it is his name Jason Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said they're pretty much looking for a righty in case he doesn't pan out.
Okay.
So. And Duquette also said that he supported the pitch clock. So that's
Maybe he should go to Toronto then.
and then they were. Oh yeah, Duquette was talking a lot about Daryl Alvarez and Mike Yastrzemski. He was really high on both those guys.
Ugh.
I'm not very high on Daryl Alvarez. I just don't see it with him in the minors.
No, he strikes out a million freaking times.
He's pretty. Yeah, he's.
Like it's worse than Baez with Chicago.
At least Baez's swing is cool to look at.
It's like whose swing is it like?
Sheffield?
Gary Sheffield. That's who. That's why he's so much fun.
Because that bat just like vibrates.
Yeah. I'm a little higher on Yastrzemski than Alvarez because he's like more of a he can hit left-handed pitching a little bit better than
Yeah.
Alvarez can hit right-handed pitching. So out of all the panels, I saw like one of them, and it was the Know Your Teammate.
Oh, I saw both of those. Those are funny as hell.
It was the I saw the one with Scope and Flaherty, Pierce and David Lowe, and Adam Jones and Wayne Kirby, and oh my God,
Jones killed it
Jones.
with. He was 5 for 5 with Kirby.
Yeah, they like pretty much. My favorite one was like you just look at the stage and Ryan Flaherty's just laughing the whole time.
No, the best part was during the first Know Your Teammate. Did you see that one?
With no.
It was, shoot, who was with? It was the pitchers. It was
I saw Hunter and O'Day were together.
Hunter and O'Day, and then it was Britton and Mattis, and then it was the two. It was Dom Chidi and Dave Wallace,
Oh.
and it was so funny because it was, oh yeah, they were asking who they thought the best looking teammate was,
Yeah.
and two of the answers in a row. I think it was Britton's answer and Tommy Hunter's answer. Both of them were Ryan Flaherty. Back to back, and everyone went crazy. It was so funny. Cause
Yeah,
he
that happened with was it best dressed? Or just best looking?
It was best looking. Best dressed they did the second one.
And
And
it was Wayne Kirby two
Wayne
times.
Kirby 2 times, and then someone said John Russell.
Yeah, John Russell. Best looking, Ryan Flaherty.
Well, because Tommy Hunter explained it, he said, we rag on the guy so much in the clubhouse, I just wanted to say it to cheer him
Aw.
up.
Poor Flaherty. My friend is in like love with him, but she's like, I saw he makes $1 million now. Maybe I can marry him and get his money.
Is she the one who runs the Miss Flaherty Twitter handle?
No,
Oh,
no, no,
thank
no,
God.
no. No, she's like 22 years old and has like ambitions of being an actual person. No, she I texted her a picture. I actually met Ryan Flaherty at like the Masson like couch cam, which sounds really like a porno set, but or a casting couch or whatever it was called. And I met Flaherty there, and he was like one guy had a shirt with his head photoshopped on Jesus, and the back of it said Flaherty Magic.
Oh yeah, I saw that guy's t-shirt. I did.
I was like, "Can I take a picture of your shirt?" He's like, "Yeah, man." And
Cause there's a Facebook group called Flaherty Magic, I'm pretty sure.
yeah. Oh my gosh. His fans are literally a cult following.
You're not helping.
Yes, no, I set the record straight. I showed him the picture, and I was like, "Have you seen this respect picture?" And he's like, "Yeah, people tweet that to me all the time." I'm like, "I made it." He's like, "It's cool to meet the creator, man. Nice to meet you." I'm like, "Hell yeah, set the record
Oh
straight."
no, that's another thing. I actually got recognized at FanFest. That was pretty cool for me. I was with Jake, and we were walking upstairs, I think, to meet his wife, because his wife was in line for the promotional for the giveaway line. And we got he stopped. He saw. Do you know who Romeo is?
Yeah, he wears like the
The construction hat with the feathers on it.
yeah.
Yeah, he was with somebody and the other guy, and he was like, "Oh, I know you from Twitter." And I was like, "Oh, awesome."
That happen a couple times. It's kind of awkward at first, but then it gets kind of cool.
All right, moving on. I think we had enough of FanFest.
We had enough of Ryan Flaherty Love Fest.
There was a fire at the Camden Yards ticket booth.
Yeah, I read more into that. I actually, you know how it opens up where you can put the money in and the tickets come out? Somebody set the fire in there, and they have a camera of four people running away from it. Now, we don't know this, it's unconfirmed, but the shirts had pinstripes on them. We're just gonna report it now. It's not confirmed. One of them said 25, one of them said 13, and I think the other one said 2 and 42. So we're not confirming anything. But we're
The
just
the best tweet I saw about this was someone said fire at the warehouse. He said Detroit was there in October.
dumpster fire, yeah.
Yeah, their bullpen. There you go, Connor, connecting the dots.
It's like I saw that I was at Buffalo Wild Wings. I was watching the Super Bowl there, and I left at halftime. I literally got to
It
my friend's
literally happened
house.
in the middle of the Super Bowl too.
Yeah, I was like, the Super Bowl's happening, and Camden Yards is literally on fire. What is happening? And I was just waiting for some Ravens fan to go. Of course, Peter Angelos would try to take away from the Super Bowl.
No, the top comment on the Baltimore Sun article is it goes, "I blame Obama or Rodrick's, either one."
Oof. Yeah, Barack Obama personally set Camden Yards on fire.
Why is the Camden Yards ticket booth selling my mixtape?
Oh, damn, I can't. It's literally my takes. It's literally all my hot takes in one place.
Dan Duquette left the hot stove on overnight.
Nah, man, I just put my tweets in there, and it lit itself on fire. Damn, I wish I didn't quit Twitter. I could tweet that out.
Quit Twitter?
for a little. It's I locked it and made my picture black. I quit it for a little bit.
Twitter break. You heard it first here. Connor Gutierrez is taking a Twitter break. All right, since we covered all our bases there, I'm going to move on to the portion of the show, our segment portion, that I know the two people who listen to this podcast love. We are getting our hate of the week
My
in.
mom and my grandmom.
I bring nothing to the table here. I mean, I don't tell anybody that I do this. People wonder why I'm yelling in my room with the door closed like 90% of the time. They don't know.
My dad like walks by and just shook his head. I'm like
That's nice. Holy shit. Oh, that's wonderful. Anyway, going on. Our hate of the week, who we have our the most unrelenting hate towards this week to English. You wanna go?
All right, I'll go. All right, it has to do with the thing, the game, football.
The Dancing Sharks?
No, that was my favorite part of the whole Super Bowl.
We'll get into that later because once we go over Ravens, we'll talk Super Bowl. But anyway, you go ahead.
Okay, there's a guy. He's a little of a 9/11 conspiracy theorist. His name is Pete Carroll. He is the coach of the Seattle Seahawks. The
No,
head coach,
really?
the head coach, I might say. He made the call on a second down with like a yard, and I don't even think it was a yard to go. He put the offense in the shotgun and had Russell Wilson throw the football. Granted, you're 1 yard away from a touchdown, and he was intercepted by I don't even know who.
Malcolm Butler.
There you go.
I hate myself that I knew that. But.
And all I could think was, wait a minute, is Marshawn Lynch dead? No, he was right there. You're literally a yard away. It's a second down. You're running the clock out on purpose. You could have literally done the Ahmad Bradshaw
sit
into the end zone for the touchdown and beat the Patriots. But you had to throw the ball when it was like a great play on the Butler's part because he literally broke for it at the perfect time.
Yeah.
And when you have a guy, Marshawn Lynch, his nickname is Beast Mode. How are you not going to give him the ball with so much to go in the Super Bowl? That literally gets you MVP right there.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, he was my pick for MVP, and I'm kind of pissed at that.
Yeah, he was mine too. And I was watching with my friends. They don't watch a lot of football. My friend goes, are they fucking stupid? What are they doing? You're literally a yard away. Run the ball. No, and he watches like one football game a year, and it's the Super Bowl. And all he knows is that Joe Flacco makes a lot of money, and Ray Lewis may or may not have killed somebody.
Oh, God.
That's all he knows about football. And he was like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, his first comment of the game when we were watching was when Tom Brady threw the interception. He goes, wow, I'm rooting for the Seahawks. The Patriots are stupid. They literally threw to the other team.
Oh, God.
So that's my hate of the week is Pete Carroll. And not only because he's a 9/11 conspiracy theorist and a whack job, but he's a terrible play caller in Super Bowls where you're not leading by 20 points.
No, the best take I saw on that was someone made a meme, a dank meme, that it was Marshawn Lynch, and it said, maybe if I don't say anything, Coach won't notice I'm here. So.
I love the one with the nationwide kid.
Oh God! Save it for later.
Okay.
My hate of the week goes to the state of New England, even though it's not a state.
But people think it is.
They're called the New England Patriots, but they play in Massachusetts. Someone figure this out for me. Anyway.
And whenever they talk about them, they mention Boston. Boston, not Foxborough. Boston.
I don't.
They don't play in Boston anymore.
No, literally. No, have you seen the documentary series How the States Got Their Shapes?
No, I want to though. I've seen it.
It's on Netflix. I watched like I think the third. I think it's either the second or third episode. And they talk about how the Boston how they get they plan their streets. Literally, it was cows.
It was what?
It was cows. Cows planned their streets. Basically, what they would do is people would let their cows roam and go and look for grass, and basically all the cows would drift towards the Boston Common, which had all the grass, and all the roads were made because that's where the cows walk.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, that's I'm not. It was a mixture of footpaths and cows wandering. That's what planned that city out. The city is so shitty that cows planned it. I'm not even making this up.
Boston strong, man.
And the reason my hate of the week is New England is not only because of that. It's because I just, for the next, what is it, like 6 months or something like that, we're going to have to listen to the Boston jerk off, stroke their own ego. And it's going to be even worse when it's baseball season and the Red Sox fans come to town, because that's what, because when they lose, that's all they're going to talk about is, at least we got a Super Bowl.
Literally, it was like 2012, and the Red Sox were terrible, and the Orioles were good. The Orioles lost to the Red Sox, and this guy in a Gronk jersey is like, Ravens suck! Orioles suck! And I'm just like, dude, the Ravens aren't even playing today. Shut the hell up. Like, take your Gronk jersey and go back to Virginia. Okay, nobody wants to hear you.
Go back to... That's good. That's good. I like that.
And if you notice, go to a Red Sox Orioles game. There's probably, like, one Massachusetts license plate. Virginia, there's Virginia, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Same with the Yankees. It's an epidemic. It needs to be stopped.
Delaware,
Maryland with Yankee tags or tag outline things, whatever they're called. License plate frames, yeah.
Oh, God. I hate that.
So your hate of the week is New England?
It's New England. All right. That wraps up Orioles / baseball / whatever we want to talk about talk. We will be right back with some football. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Between Two Birds podcast, and we are going to talk some football, but first, we're going to hop into another segment that we like to call Pop Culture Corner, which we talk about things we have been reading, watching, listening to, etc., the past week or so. Do you want to go, or should I?
You can start this time.
Okay. I have been playing Sleeping Dogs, Definitive Edition. I bought that this week. I've been playing a little bit with that. It's a pretty good game so far. It plays like kind of like a kung fu movie. For anyone who's actually interested, it's about an undercover cop who was an undercover cop in the U.S. Hold on, let me start to say it. It's a bad explanation. He was born in Hong Kong, and he moved to the U.S. later on, and then he became an undercover cop. He went undercover in the gangs and whatnot. Then he moved back to Hong Kong, and he you worked as him trying to get in, like, infiltrate the triads, pretty much. So that's pretty cool. It has a bunch of kung fu stuff and guns. So it's kind of like a mini, like, I don't know how big the map is, but it kind of plays like GTA. So that's what I kind of like about it. And as for watching, I've been watching a little bit of the documentary series, as I said earlier, How the States Got the Shapes, which is actually pretty freaking interesting. I love that show. Because it's just like a bunch of stuff you wouldn't realize. Like, what did they do? The state of Texas, like how the state of Texas got their shape, and like talking about, Oklahoma has that little piece that juts out over top of Texas.
Yeah, it looks like it's the panhandle, basically.
Yeah, the reason that's there is because Congress made a law in the 1800s, I think, about if a state is above the certain parallel, they weren't allowed to have slavery. So what Texas pretty much did was chop off that piece so they could still have slavery. And Oklahoma claimed it. And then, like, in the Texas Capitol Hall or something like that, like, it has all the, in the very middle of it, there's the giant symbol for Texas. And then all around it, it has, like, these different symbols for countries that have laid claim to Texas. So there's, like, the French fleur-de-lis, there's the Spain, there's the Mexican eagle, and then there's the U.S. eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty good show. I like that a lot. I guess I'm probably going to watch it after I get done with it. What else have I been doing? That's it for the most part, other than tweeting and being an asshole on the internet. That's about it.
For me, the Grammys are coming up on Sunday, so it'll be a little nerve-wracking because Paramore is nominated.
Oh, God.
So, since I am off Twitter, you won't hear my ramblings now, but I'll probably just be screaming at the TV if they don't win, so you'll all get to miss out on that, but... they're nominated for their song Ain't It Fun. So, and the funny part is it's the rock category, and on their album, it's the least rock of any of their songs. It's the more poppy one, but it's still a good song. And right. It's basically Hayley Williams singing to herself, "You're going to be a grown up. You need to start acting like one." So that's what that's about. For like TV, I don't watch TV. I'll watch the Orioles on TV. I'll watch, like, sports, but I don't watch any, like, actual TV shows. I watch them on Netflix. And I've been watching American Horror Stories. And...
like every other teenager that's a woman.
Well, I'm going to get into that a little bit. It's a good show. If you're watching it just for, like, a little freaky, you know, whatever, it's the perfect thing for you. You know, it's got really good actors. And in the first season, there's, like, Dylan McDermott, got Connie Britton, Evan Peters, who is a literal sex god, basically, now.
Pretty much.
Thaisa Farmiga, I think that's how you say it. And Jessica Lange. So, you know, it's got some good people. I think Emma Roberts shows up in the third season. Zachary Quinto shows up in the second, and Kathy Bates in, like, the third and fourth. Like, they switch characters between it because it's different kinds of series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Murder House to Asylum to Coven to Freak Show, and I'm on Murder House right now. And Evan Peters plays a school shooting homicidal maniac who sets his stepdad on fire. So it's pretty good.
Joy to the world.
So that's what I've been up to.
All right. Before I start losing brain cells, let's move on to football so I can lose less brain cells.
And get concussions at the same time.
Yes. As unless you're living under a rock or you're in a different country, which I don't know why you're listening to this if you're in a different country.
If you're in North Korea right now and you're listening, I love you. You are doing what Kim Jong-un does not want you to do.
We lead all the BSR podcasts in North Korean viewers.
Screw you, Dave.
Have you watched the interview yet?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I haven't. I gotta get to it.
There's a little part of James Franco driving a tank in slow motion to Firework by Katy Perry playing in the background.
I heard that's like a running joke in it. It's like the Fireworks by Katy Perry because Kim Jong-un loves Katy Perry.
Yeah, he's like, no, my wife put this on here. Dave, and James Franco's like, I love Katy Perry. He's like, yeah, me too, man. And then they start like blowing stuff up sets of the song.
Awesome. So, anyway, unless you've been living in a rock, under a rock or in North Korea, the Super Bowl was yesterday as we're recording this because it's, well, technically it's February. No, I'm not even going to get that. It's February 2nd right now.
February 2nd in most of the world right now.
Yes. So, anyway. The Super Bowl was yesterday. The jerk offs that was New England, that are New England, are pretty happy. I don't even know what I'm saying. New England won, and I'm not happy. That's all you got to know about that. And I'm pretty sure Connor is not happy about that either, is he?
Like, I don't even have a favorite team anymore, and I'm still mad that the Patriots won. I can't stand Tom Brady or Satan's recreation of Bill Belichick.
The Dark Lord.
Oh, jeez, yes.
Good, let the hate flow through you.
That's probably his pregame speech after he's done deflating about all the footballs and done going through the other team's practice film.
I've actually, read into it. Apparently, he has a really good sense of humor in the locker room, so that's kind of cool to read about. But anyway, how about we get onto that horrible halftime show?
It's the first halftime show where I knew almost every song. Because it's usually old rock people, and I don't listen to old rock music.
Bruno Mars last year.
Well, besides Bruno Mars. But
you
You
cannot say that having the Red Hot Chili Peppers on was a bad thing.
I don't even remember the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing.
They came on, and they played Give It Away with Bruno Mars for one set, and then they were gone.
Oh, see, that's why I didn't even remember.
No, but I just... that it was so... like, they tried to... my God, they did so much to it. Like, Katy Perry came on a giant tiger.
I was at Buffalo Wild Wings for that portion of it, and I was with my friend, and we were just sitting there like, what is this, first of all? And then it got, to the point where, Lenny Kravitz came out, and, I'm pretty sure, half the people were like, who the hell is Lenny Kravitz?
I don't even know who Lenny Kravitz is.
And then most of the people were like, who is Missy Elliott?
And that's, that's so 90s.
It really is. Like, you can't get more 90s pop than Missy Elliott.
Can we get back,
Missy
can we bring back Crisscross and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, too, while we're at it?
Or find where Tupac's living at. Because Tupac is alive.
Tupac lives. You know it.
He lives in North Korea.
Anyway.
And of course, the shark.
Oh yeah, the dancing sharks and the high beach balls.
It was. I think she was singing "Teenage Dream." And see, the thing about Katy Perry, I like her music. It's catchy, but I can't listen to it for a long time because I start to feel really stupid, and I feel really creepy because she's an attractive woman, and I'm an 18-year-old guy who's listening to music for 13-year-olds.
What was I gonna say? No, it's like you had what was there's thousands of tweets afterwards too bad Katy Perry didn't have a nip slip.
Those are the people that I hate because congratulations, you noticed that she has big breasts. It doesn't mean they're gonna have to flop out everywhere for you to enjoy the freaking halftime show. That made me so mad. The people, I bet there was prop bets all around the country. Will Katy Perry have a nip slip?
No, there was a bet on they actually bet on how long the national anthem lasts.
Yeah, and it was Idina Menzel, so it lasted 7 minutes.
Well, it lasted 124 minutes, and the over under was 122.5. That's crazy. No, but I think the best tweet of the night probably goes to Cespedes Family Barbecue. And they said that someone gets to put, Dancing Palm Tree at the Katy Perry halftime show on their resume. And that was the best tweet of the night. I love it.
I think Snoop Dogg said, that he was the left shark.
That would have been funny if the shark just like if he took off the shirt, if someone took off the costumes and it was like literally Snoop Dogg, and then they start
playing California Girls, and he starts this like crappy rap part.
Yeah, but that was an interesting halftime show. It was better than last year's part that didn't include the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I would say that, but they've been shit for a couple of years now, so.
I don't know any Beyonce songs besides, the main pop. I can't even think of it right now.
The Put a Ring on It?
Yeah, and then the lights went out, so everyone's like, Beyonce knocked the lights out. I'm like, yeah, because I slept through her halftime show, and I get all the...
It's the thing is with the halftime show is that what the NFL tries to do is that they try to make it appealing to females because females don't necessarily watch the Super Bowl. That's their whole marketing scheme. So they're always going to get like either a female performer or a good looking male performer like Bruno Mars or something like that, or someone who's effeminate. I don't know. I'm stupid. Anyway, is that all you want to say on the Super Bowl?
I mean, pretty much. Katy Perry came out, and when she was first wearing like the flames, all I could think was my flaming hot takes that burned up Camden Yards. So
why is Katy Perry wearing my mixtape?
Yes.
I saw that tweet so much last night. It was pretty good. I like that. No, but the game itself was I liked the game itself. Like it was pretty smooth. There weren't that many penalties. There weren't too many timeouts. There wasn't that many challenges. It all kind of went. It played. There wasn't that many stoppages of time, which I liked. Yeah,
like when the Ravens were in the Super Bowl, no penalties.
Yeah, and there's Ravens always. They have like 10 penalties a game at least. It drives me nuts. But and then I literally thought the Seahawks had it in the bag, and then Malcolm Butler makes that interception, and then. Even worse is that they had that great catch right before that with Javon Curse. Like every. Super Bowl the Patriots lose has a great catch in it, and that was gonna be it. If the
David Tyree, Mario Manningham, Javon Curse?
Yeah, Javon Curse, I think.
Yeah, Jermaine Curse.
Jermaine Curse. I'm thinking.
Yeah. And I'm like, I was like, that is gonna be it. It's gonna be it for the third time. I'm like, again.
Someone asked Belichick afterwards if he's ever seen anything like that. He said, I've seen it twice before.
He just saw the losing side of it.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part was when they opened to, it was even before, the game started. It was, right before kickoff, and they showed Marshawn Lynch eating out of a tub of Skittles.
Oh, yeah, I saw. No, he did that right after the touchdown, too. After his touchdown, he went over to the sideline and ate Skittles.
Oh, okay.
I think you tweeted that, didn't you? Or did you not tweet during the Super Bowl?
I tweeted some. I tweeted the picture of it when he scored his touchdown.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
And I was like, I was watching the commercials, and it was Pitch Perfect 2, and I'm like, Pitch Perfect 2, still not about baseball.
No, I hated all the commercials. This is going to go on forever, so let's move on.
All right, one last of my tweets. Throwing the ball on the 1 yard line is the equivalent of bringing in Michael Wacha in the ninth inning of an elimination game. And to face Travis Ichikawa. Anyway,
let's move on to some Ravens news. This has been done for a while, but the Ravens coaching changes. Kubiak out, his quarterback, Rick Dennison, he's out. I can't remember the name of the tight end coach, but he's out too. And they brought in Mark Trestman and Marty Morningwig.
They brought in the Trestman daughters. To Twitter.
As I tweeted out when that happened, it's a national pastime for men to stalk women loosely related to their favorite sports teams. So that's always fun. And for those of you who don't know, Marty Morningwig was the Jets offensive coordinator, I believe. So
at least he has a lesser position.
Yeah, exactly. But from what I've been looking at Trestman, the big thing with him is he normally has a good first year. That's always been like his MO. His first year, the first year he's there, he has like it's amazing. Like his offense, the offense always is like in the top five or whatever, and they do great. And then the second year is that when the offense just takes a dump. It's pretty much what happened with the Bears. So I'm very cautiously optimistic. So let's put it like
hey,
that.
Hey, just hope that he's so good that he gets taken away again. You just gotta find another coordinator.
That's always fun. No, because then if they do that, they're gonna report. They're probably gonna promote Marty Morningwig, and that's gonna be even worse.
Yeah. Or they could just, bring in Charlie Weiss,
who lost his job with the Kansas Jayhawks.
The Kansas Jayhawks football team that goes like 3-12 or something every year.
The same with like Duke's football team. Nobody cares because they're all basketball schools.
Well, Duke's football team's actually gotten kind of good the last couple of years.
I haven't been paying attention to them, so I should do.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, you have like Syracuse, who's like great basketball school, and I happen to be a bandwagon Syracuse fan because my girlfriend is a huge Cuse fan, so I just kind of jumped on because I never really rooted for the Terps, but they'd always be like my hometown team, so I'll like still give them my support. But
I'm shaking my fist at you.
But like their football program is still kind of good, but it's not like as good as it can be for like compared to their basketball program.
Sure. That's about it with the coaching changes. There hasn't been much else going on in the Ravens front besides. Terrence Cody has been arrested. Let me make sure I get this right. He's facing
breaking Ravens player arrested.
Terrence Cody is facing two felony counts of aggravated animal cruelty, and then he has five misdemeanor counts of animal abuse or neglect, and then he also has a misdemeanor for illegal possession of an alligator. Punishable up to $1,000 fine, and then one of those misdemeanor counts of animal abuse is for the alligator.
So you get fined, you get in trouble for having it, but also for neglecting it.
And then he has a misdemeanor for drug paraphernalia.
I want to look up what state you can own an alligator in.
I know you can't. Maryland, they're really restrictive. Like, you can't own foxes. I looked that up. You can't own a lot of exotic animals. Like, well, I wouldn't say exotic, but normally wild animals like that, because I want a fox, because foxes are awesome. But it's. I wanted to. He got ill. He got. He was convicted, and I think he got out on $10,000 bail, $10,000 bail.
Hmm. With all the rookie money he's been a waste of, that's nothing to him, I guess.
Yeah, really. I don't understand. Where do you get an alligator from?
Is it like fireworks? You smuggle them from the south, or?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure there's. I don't. Are alligators native to Maryland? I need to look this up.
No, I don't think they are because it's cold.
Well, they're cold blooded.
Alabama, you can own one. You can have a license for it in Arizona. You can have a license for it in Delaware. He probably bought it in Delaware.
Really?
But you need to obtain a license to own exotic animals in Delaware. So he might have bought it there and just smuggled it over. Maryland, it's no person may possess or breed. Foxes, skunks, raccoons, any species of bears. Alligator, crocodile.
Can't own a bear in Maryland.
Even the Ravens own a bear now.
Really?
Mark Trussman.
Oh.
Crocodile.
That was clever, and I didn't catch up on it. That was good. That was good.
Wild cats, wolves, non-human primates.
I like that classification, non-human primates.
So basically monkeys. I'm trying to see North Carolina. I think you can. So maybe North Carolina. Pennsylvania.
Where's he from? He's from Alabama, isn't he? Check Alabama.
Alabama, you can.
He might have put it over when he came from Alabama.
Wow. How do you get a 2-foot alligator through states to Baltimore, to Maryland.
Well, can you allow, that's another thing, can you allow alligators on flights? Can you, like, check them in on flights?
Do you have to get them a boarding pass, or they can they be in the bottom of the plane?
Alligators, plane.
That'd make a great movie.
You can, because, okay, there's this article on the Telegraph from 2010. A plane crashed after the crocodile escaped on board.
That'd make a perfect movie. Screw snakes on a plane. Alligators on a plane.
That's the shitty, like, knockoff sequel, Alligators on a Plane.
Like, it's just one alligator, and it's Terrence Cody chasing around, and just him falling over and getting hurt. And then, like...
with his shirt off, so he has his big floppy tits. Alright. I think... I should also mention that he got... as soon as he started, this came up, Terrence Cody got cut. And... oh, apparently to Aaron Wilson. Apparently from Aaron Wilson, the alligator was 2 feet long.
Yeah.
This isn't confirmed, though. He's saying that he's hearing that. So, keep an ear out. I want to know how long this alligator is.
Like, 2 feet is a small human. That's a big alligator.
A small human? How is that a small human? I'm 5 foot, like, 10.
Like a child. Small human.
Oh. Like, I was like picturing like dwarf, and I know like dwarves are like taller than two feet.
No, I'm saying like a child or something. No, yeah. Average is like 5 foot, and then taller is just abnormal.
Okay, I see where you're going now. No, but he was cut as soon as his charges came up, and then everything got thrown out in the light today. So that's about it.
I'm literally googling 2 foot alligator.
Oh my
god. To see if I can find a comparison.
All right, well, on that note, I think we should end this, because it's
getting... Oh, it's not that big. The guy's literally holding it in his hand. Really? I can see how you put that in a cage and drive it up.
Well, I mean, it's basically two rollers.
Yeah. No, I just hear alligator, and I think, like, literal, like, thing chomping at you and trying to kill you.
Actually, I remember that. I saw, I was in Home Depot once, and someone was carrying around an alligator. Not even lying.
I'd run away. I'd be like, nope. The strangest thing anyone's ever
bought. How is that possible? Because that's in Maryland, and alligators are illegal in Maryland. How did that happen?
Oh, maybe he got it from the same guy Terrence Cody got it from. Hey, man, we service NFL players. We get them all the exotic animals.
Everyone has that hookup guy. You got that zebra stripe Lamborghini, you get the hookup guy. You need prostitutes, you get the hookup guy. You need, like, alligator, you call the hookup guy.
Like, I was in a gas station. I was just getting, like, Skittles or something. And this guy walks in. He's wearing, like, camo stuff. And he's just literally walk around with, like, a geese in his arms.
Oh, my God.
That was the... And it's, like, since I kind of live in, like, the redneck area of my town, literally, that does not surprise me. I know this person, and he has, like, 6 geese. And they, like, make weird... They, like, go up to you and, like, make weird noises. I don't even know what the noise is. But he's just walking around. And the guy's like, yeah, he brings in his geese all the time. And, like, I work in a grocery store, and, like, we get, like, a dog every, like, 3 months or something.
All right. Let's end it there before we keep on rambling. anything you want to plug? Anything before we go? Anything you're doing this week?
Might be posting something up on BSR about steamer projections with the Orioles. They love Manny Machado and Steve Pierce, and they hate Adam Jones' defense.
They always talk about the Pacoda projections, because they projected the Orioles go last and Tampa scores more runs than us, which I find laughable.
Pacoda goes off of strikeouts for the pitchers, and the Orioles have more hits into the field for outs because they have better defense. So that's why they're always valued lower. I don't get the runs less than Tampa, though. That's a little suspicious.
I don't think I'll be posting anything this week unless I find time for it. You can find me at @_Cody on Twitter. Connor's taking a break, but if you want to... No, I am @_thecritic. I don't even know my own Twitter handle.
And if you want to even, like, my Twitter, if you don't follow my Twitter, it's locked. So basically, just follow Baltimore Sports Report if you want to see when my articles come out.
Yeah, that, or I'll probably retweet that and whatnot. So do that. Yeah. And
oh, we also have a Twitter now.
Oh yeah, we have a Twitter too. It's @BetweenTwoBirds. Is it all typed out?
I think it's with a number. Oh. Yep. So I'll actually be tweeting from that account. So
yeah,
I'll just be tweeting. I'll just tweet the links when they come. So.
All right. And that is it for us. We will see you guys whenever we see you guys. Our schedule is not exactly ironed out, but we'll see you guys when we see you guys.